Go ahead.
Hi, Jeremy. Oh, he's not looking at me. We have a special guest. Actually, Ted and Risa are here from the States with their son. So I meant to welcome you at the beginning of the Mass, but I got distracted because this Mass is for the 40th day of Brother June. So now, since many of you are here for to honor June, and this is the 40th day, I'd like to just say a few words in his honor as well. Then we'll reflect on the feast day today, which is Feast of the Presentation of Mary, and on a little bit on these scriptures. I'm happy to be able to offer a Mass for June because I was out of the country when he passed away. I had heard he had died. I thought he died on October 12, but I just learned he died October 13, Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the anniversary of the miracle of the sun. He died on a Marian feast, and then today is a Marian feast, so his 40th day is also under the patronage of Mary. Anyway, my last two times to see Brother June were when I was invited to the house to anoint him. The first time was a while ago, about 6 months ago maybe, and he had asked to be anointed, and so I don't remember the details, but I got to the house. And when I got there, he was sitting up in his room, and I walked in, good morning, or whatever I said, and he said, "Father, I'm dying." Very strong like that. I said, oh. He was very convinced that he was dying, but he sounded so healthy. I don't remember what his illness was. I'm sorry. But what I remember about that was his determination to receive the sacraments before he died. I said, well, beautiful. That is the right response. And when I was in the room, someone had lit a candle, and something caught fire on the table. I remember that. And I was sitting right next to June, and the candle was on the other side of the bed there. And instead of getting up and blowing out the fire, I reacted like, "Oh, help, help!" or something like that. There's a fire, and the members of the family, maybe it was you, Dolly, came in and put out the fire. And afterwards, I felt so humiliated because I was the closest one. I could easily have just blown out the candle. But anyway, that's my nature. I'm very slow to react. And we have to accept ourselves. Anyway, that was up maybe 5 or 6 months ago. Then the last time I saw June was just shortly before I left. It must have been the end of September. And he asked to receive the sacraments. And I had been told really weak, not able to talk or able to respond. And so I didn't bring the Holy Eucharist with me, thinking that he would not be able to swallow. I got to the house, and the first thing he said was he wants to receive Holy Communion. So I had to come all the way back, because you don't refuse a dying person viaticum. You don't refuse. If someone asks for viaticum, you make every effort to give it. So I came all the way back here, picked up the Holy Eucharist, and went back, and he, even though he was very weak, and he certainly was close to death at that time, he was very alert. He was very responsive. He couldn't always speak, but he would make the sign of the cross, nod. He was certainly participating in the sacraments, and I think very well prepared to go home to the Lord. And then I left maybe the next day or 2 days, and then less than 2 weeks later, maybe 10 days later, he passed away. So. And I, since I wasn't there for the wake or the funeral, I'm happy to be able to offer this Mass for him. He's our neighbor, a man I've known for years. I especially know his wife, who served in the parish for many years, and that's probably how many of you know them. So I offer my condolences to the Santiago family. Let's take a look at these readings. These are not specially chosen for the feast day or specially chosen for the 40th day. This is just the Monday of the last week of the church's year. And we get this surprising story about the poor widow who, along with all the rich people, put a donation into the collection. And Jesus, observing all these people making their donations, says, this is the surprising part, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. Now, obviously, She did not put in more than all the rest because she only put in 2 coins. And the rich people put their big offerings. But Jesus clarifies what he means. Not that she put in more money, but that she put in more of herself. The others all made offerings from their surplus wealth, stuff they didn't need anyway. They're wealthy. But she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood. So that, in that sense, she certainly did put in more than all the others. And that's why her example is both inspiring and challenging. Inspiring because here's someone who is wholehearted in her gift of herself to God, and that's inspiring. Challenging because we realize we're not like that. I'm not. Oh, I would like to be. I think we would all like to be, but it's not that easy to dedicate our whole livelihood to the Lord, our whole self to the Lord, everything we have, everything that we depend on, to depend totally on God. That's the call. Like that's the Anuim life, by the way, to be the poor is to be like this poor widow. But it's not that easy for us to do because as soon as we give our surplus wealth, the rest of it, we say, we need for ourselves. And certainly we do need money to live on and to support our families. But what we really need is Jesus Christ. What we really depend on is not our possessions, our money and our livelihood, but Jesus Christ, our Savior. So if we are genuine in our faith, in our dedication to Him, He's the one we rely on 100%. And that's what her challenging witness tells us. Now, this is also a feast day of Our Lady, who also lived 100% for the Lord. In fact, that's the fundamental reason behind this feast, which honors her presentation in the temple. Mary, well, like everyone, everyone's grace starts with God's gift. In Mary's case, she was preserved from sin from the moment of her conception. We'll be celebrating that in a couple of weeks. But in Mary's case, not only did she receive that special privilege, but she remained faithful throughout her life. So the tradition is that even as a child, she was 100% given to the Lord, that she was presented. She her whole life was as a temple. Now, whether she actually was brought to the temple, I don't know. The scholars say probably not. But it doesn't matter because the point is not what happened. The point is who this woman Mary is and the wholehearted gift of herself to the Lord. So we have this poor widow in the gospel and we have this poor widow standing at the foot of the cross. And both of them are very challenging examples. They live in absolute poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor, they shall see God. And we say to ourselves, well, I would love to be like that. I'd love to see God, love to be poor in spirit. But when I look at my record, I say, well, I'm not completely wholehearted, or I haven't been. So we turn to today's first reading. This is another passage from the book of Revelation. And we see a vision of heaven. Now here, it's not just a poor widow, not just the Blessed Virgin Mary, but 144,000 people. They're in heaven, they're singing the new hymn, they've been ransomed. It says here that on their lips, no deceit has been found, they are unblemished. And then we say, well, I guess I don't qualify. Because if anyone knows himself or herself, we should all know we can't claim to be unblemished, we can't claim to have had no deceit. All we have to do is think of one thoughtless, careless statement or one angry reaction or one lie, and we say, well, that disqualifies me. Or one selfish act or one choice of something sinful, and we say, well, I'm disqualified already. Except This 144, it doesn't mean that they lived a perfect life on earth, because they received the gift of being ransomed by the Lamb. It says they have been ransomed, meaning their defilement has been taken away. That's why they're unblemished. They've been ransomed from the earth. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been ransomed as the first fruits of the human race for God and the Lamb. So they represent everybody who makes it to heaven, including Brother June, including this poor widow, including anybody who may not have lived a perfect life, but is ransomed by the blood of the Lamb. And this is very encouraging to us. This is what makes it possible for us to keep dwelling on these challenging examples and to strive to live wholeheartedly in our gift of ourselves to God. And this, to me, leads me back to yesterday's gospel and the beautiful passage about the thief who is promised entry into paradise. You remember this gospel yesterday on the Feast of Christ the King. Jesus crucified. Two criminals, one on either side. One criminal says, get us out of here. Do something. Get us off this cross. The other criminal says, wait a minute. We're only receiving the punishment we deserve. Remarkable thing to say. He's not, we call him the good thief. He's not good. He's committed some crime that was, under the Roman law, worthy of capital punishment. He's being executed as a criminal. So he's not a man with no deceit on his lips, a man who's unblemished, who was always faithful. He's a criminal, a sinner. But he admits to being a sinner. He admits that he's guilty. He admits that what he's suffering is connected to his own guilt. He's not complaining about being on the cross. He's saying, oh, this is what I deserve. I'm not going to say it. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And then you know the beautiful prayer that he makes, the prayer that's taught to us. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that was right, beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to say to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's not that I'm worthy, it's not that I'm unblemished, it's not that I can put any trust in my own accomplishments or how much money I have or how much I gave in the collection. All my trust is in you, Jesus. Remember me. And then Jesus immediately responds, today, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. As if to say, he's already in paradise, even while he's still on the cross, because he's united with Jesus. So it's a very beautiful thing to remember as we ponder the Blessed Virgin Mary and her purity of heart, her sinlessness. We ponder the example of these saints, like this poor widow, and we say, my goodness, how do people get like that? Well, we learn the lesson of the 144,000. They didn't start out pure like Mary did, but they turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, bring me into your kingdom. Purify me, set me free from my sin. I accept the process of the cross. I accept your way of salvation. And I look forward to joining these 144,000 in glory. So with those reflections, we ask Our Lady to pray for us, and we pray for all our loved ones who have died. We pray for Brother June with confidence in the goodness of God, the mercy of God. He wants all of us to join the 144,000.